When wars are over or winding down, it's time to look at what to do with the surplus gear coming home from the battlefield. One of the Obama administration's approaches to the end of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan is not simply to have a huge garage sale on the open international arms market, but instead to give stuff away to needy local police departments. But what need does a 9-foot-tall, 30-ton tank fulfill for the local cops in Neenah, Wisconsin, or the town of Appleton right next door? Since 2006, American state and local law enforcement officials have acquired tanks and also M16 rifles, grenade launchers, silencers, large caliber machine guns, and more. The pipeline includes 432 mine-resistant, ambush-protected armored vehicles, more than 93,000 machine guns, and nearly 200,000 ammunition magazines. The city councilman from Neenah, Bill Palno, joins me now. Bill, what do you need with a tank there in Neenah?
Well, it's my feel that there really was never demonstrated the need. It was more of the mindset that it was quote-unquote free and it was available to be ascertained. So that's how it was proceeded originally.
Well, you got a free tank. You can put it in the parade, on Memorial Day, that sort of thing. Is there a lot of harm to that sort of thing, or does this concern you? Does this worry you?
Well, it is concerning. I guess we'll go back to, the whole definition of free. I mean, this device that was built for the wars, it was originally cost the taxpayer $770,000, which kind of in this whole discussion has been lost in the shuffle. But it is concerning that, that they use the mechanism as free, as that is a key selling point for even acquiring this, not so much the need. Because the need, I've been on the council for about 2 years now, we've never received any kind of correspondence from our police department, quantifying or demonstrating that there was a safety concern or anything of that nature at all.
Of course, the law enforcement officers in Columbine or, Newtown in Connecticut had no advance warning of what happened at those schools. We've seen over the past many decades the growth of SWAT team capabilities in law enforcement around the country. Do you think there's a preventative function here of having this military and paramilitary equipment on hand?
In my opinion, you can always point to a worst-case scenario, for justification of what you're doing. I mean, I don't think there's ever been any nationwide study to demonstrate the impact, negative and positive, of the SWAT team growth in our country.
Maybe the tank is a little extreme, but what do you make of the rifles, the silencers, the machine guns, the armored vehicles? And the ammunition, that's got to save some money if it's coming free from the feds.
Well, here's that word free again. It was paid for by the taxpayer originally. But, the thing that's concerning is I go back to the processes and how do you want your government to be administered? Do you want a civilian oversight, or do you want a police departments throughout the country basically being able to go direct and get what they claim and they feel is necessary? I think that's a kind of a dangerous road to go down when, you have public officials and elected officials that people put there have no idea of what is happening right in their community.
So you'd rather have the federal government sell this on the open market and take the cash benefit not you make this pretense of it being free by giving it to local police departments?
I didn't mean that at all. In war has gone past, what the federal government has done is put a lot of this equipment after World War II, after Korea, they put it in what they consider kind of a mothball situation to be utilized in need in the future. And if they don't need it, maybe they don't need it, then they part it out or they scrap it. But, I think that's two different items or two different issues as far as, leftover surplus military hardware and local municipalities. I think those are two different distinct discussions, in my opinion.
Well, we interacted with your police chief there in Neenah, Kevin Wilkinson, and he had a few things to say about the rationale, not specifically for the tank, but just the changes that he's seen over 30 years in your community. He says, I've seen some pretty nasty deeds going on in big cities, in small towns, in rural homesteads. I've been wearing a ballistic vest anytime I'm on patrol. In 30 years, I've never needed it, not once, but I'd rather have it, referring to the vest and other equipment, than not need it than need it and not have it, especially when you consider the price My only desire in all of this is to be reasonable and to keep people safe. I believe that's my job. Is that a reasonable position for the police chief in Neenah to take?
Well, the police in our city does a fine knockdown job, I believe. And just to point to that, you know, we have a very, very low crime rate versus the state of Wisconsin. So they're doing a very well administered job. But I guess I would address that by saying, going back to the processes again, and all our other items, we go through a budget, we go through a vetting process, we have the elected officials very well involved with all our departments. So if, like I told the police department when this originally came up, I said, if there was a demonstrated need, what it costs, I would be supportive. I think that's a better way to do things.
Well, you know, you raise an interesting point because you found out about this almost by accident because you heard about what was going on in the neighboring town of Appleton and then discovered that, hey, you're going to get one too, one of these big tanks. Maybe you should ask if there are any surplus nuclear warheads coming your way. I mean, that'd be really nasty to keep in a warehouse somewhere, right?
Well, we could be facetious all day, I guess. I mean, but I understand your point. And that kind of leads to my next point. You know, when you talk about militarization and where the trends were going, you know, a lot of the militarization is perception. And that is always an underlying concern for me. The intangible is what does our public feel about their police department? I want our public to trust our police department in the city of Neenah because they do an awesome job. They have a lot of great people. And something like this could maybe make people hesitant to call or not be engaging with the local police department. I think that would be a shame.
So there's a difference between the officer on the beat and, you know, a feeling of martial law. And that's what this really puts in play, in your view.
I wouldn't say martial law per se, but, this vehicle, by its very definition, is an article of war. So saying that there's some level of militarization in our local police department, I think is fair. What level or what percentage could be debated. But I think it's fair to say there is a certain level that the public has a perception now that is there.
Bill Paulno is the Neenah City Councilman. Thanks so much for talking to us. That's a great conversation.
Well, thank you for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.